Okay, Rabbi Yisai, a brand new perek, Daf Chav Gimel. We're starting from the very top, the new Mishnah, new perek, Zok the Mishnah. Dinei Mamonos Mishloisha. Sounds very familiar. We had this at the very beginning of our Masechta in the first perek. But here we're talking about something else. What are we talking about? We're going, the two parties are now heading to court, and we have to establish the Beis Din before anything else. Of course, you can always go to a Beis Din Kavua where there's already an established Beis Din. But there's something known as Zablo. Zablo is Rosh Tevis, Ze Bor Le'echad, Ze Bor Le'echad. Which means that if you do not have an established Beis Din, you can have the two parties, each one selecting their own Dayanim to put together the Beis Din. In the Havamina, the Gemara learns, Ze Bor Le'echad means that one of the two parties chooses a full-fledged bezin of three. Bezer bar li'echad. And the second one says, no, I don't want your bezin of three, but instead, I want my bezin of three. So if you add three plus three, you have six. But that's not enough. Shneim and the two parties together now, boirin lehen oidechad. They now choose a third bezin of three. So how many dayanim would you have altogether?
Nine.
You have nine. Now that sounds very strange. We started off the Mishnah, dini mamonos b'shloisha, you need three dayanim, and all of a sudden you get to nine dayanim. But I'm not making this up. If you look at the top Rashi, mashma zeh b'boreloi bezden echad, shehen gimel, v'zeh echad hari shisha, u'shneim b'orelohem oid echad hari teisha, now you have nine altogether, that's why the Gemara starts off right as soon as we finish the Mishnah. My ze borleyech. What's going on over here? Why would you want nine dayanim? Bitlos esagi. Three is enough, and that's how the Mishnah began. So Mir Tashem, the Gemara is going to deal with that issue. But in Havamina, borleyech means bezden echad, and the three together, the two parties together, are borlin a third bezden, nine altogether. Divrei Meir. The Chachamim Oimrim Shnei Dayanin Boirin Lehen Oid Echad. The way we learn in the Havamina, once again, that Chachamim also agreed to Remeir. The first one chooses a full bezin. The second one chooses a full bezin. But instead of the two parties going and choosing a third bezin, the Dayanim that were chosen, they're going to go and choose a third bezin. So there's really no machloikis between the Meir and the Chachamim as to the two parties. Both of them are doing their Zablo, choosing a Beis Din. The only question is, who is the third link in this threesome? According to Tanakhama, it's the two parties that go and select the third Beis Din, and according to Chachamim, the two parties, not the two parties, but the two groups of Tayanim, they're going to go and choose that third Beis Din, and therefore, Tshver, what do you need nine Tayanim? And we'll see as we get into the Gemara.
How do you say that needs a whole Beis Din? Say the Yonim, it says. To the Yonim, choose a third one.
You're talking about the Chachamim. Mendy, you were asking a very good question. The Ran asks that Kasha, not over here in the Mishnah, but later in the Gemara. And he says that the Pshat that the Gemara gave, like the Chachamim, the doesn't work, but it says Dayanim, it doesn't say Bati Dinim. Let's wait another 10 lines. The Gemara is going to address this. We'll get back to you, Mendy. But in the meantime, we have now concluded the initial machlokes between Rameh and the Chachamim, and now we continue on to the next piece. And the Mishnah says, Zeh poisel dayana shel zeh, v'zeh poisel dayana shel zeh. Each one of the two parties can say, I don't want your dayan. I don't want to look at him. I don't want to speak to him. I think that he is posel, and I want to disqualify him. Says Rameh, you can do that. A person can disqualify the other person's dayanim. The Gemara is going to say, what business do you have to go and disqualify a dayan? If he is a qualified dayan, how can you go and say, I don't want him? We're going to talk about that in the Gemara. Amos, when can you disqualify another person's dayan? Bizman shemevi alein rayish in kroiv maipsulim. If you can go and show that he in fact is a karev to the other party or to the other dayan or to someone, or he's a apostle, you know, he has a record of a chas v'shalom agana for gazlan or whatever, then I understand. If these happen to be kshem, in other words, regular, normal, fine, wonderful, outstanding people, no problems with their pedigree, with their background, whatever, or they're mumchim, they are established, not just hedyoites, but mumchim, experts in their field, mumchim mipi bezin, and yochel bezin. You can't just go and say, I want to passel him. Who are you to go and passel? Again, we're going to discuss this more in the Gemara. And now the Mishnah says something even more startling. Each one brings along Edom, and the Mishnah says, according to the mayor, that I can go and challenge those Edom. No, I don't believe those Edom. Who are those Edom? Nah, those Edom, they don't know what they're talking about. They're idiots. Get them out of here. How can you go and passel somebody else's Edom? When can you passel them as much? Avad, if you can go and prove that there's a problem with those Edom because they're Kroivim, so that I understand. If they have a normal record of being fine, outstanding, wonderful citizens, you can go and passel Edom. Otherwise, you can never have justice done. Anytime you want to go and prove your case, you bring Edom, the other person says, I don't recognize these Edom. I think these Edom are no good. I don't like them. Of course you don't like them because they're being made against you. So all of this is going to be explored in the Gemara in great detail. Zok the Gemara. We started off the Mishnah Zeh Bor Le'echad. Zok the Gemara. My Zeh Bor Le'echad. My Zeh Bor Le'echad. Each one of them chooses three. That doesn't make sense. Then you're going to have nine altogether, like Rashi said at the top. But Tlossesag, you only need three, which is what the Mishnah said. Dina Mominus Mishloish. Everything more hockey car my shot the mishnah says hey kish is there borloy bezden echad is there borloy bezden echad shneim borlehen oid echad. What the Gemara is continuing at this moment to learn is that the zeh borloy echad doesn't mean one diet taka like we learned until now. A bezden, the malva who's taking the loivet to bezden, that would be a normal case, right? The lender has not been paid back by the borrower. So the lender takes the borrower to Bezin, and he says, I want to go to the Bezin of America. And the other one says, no, I don't want to go to the Bezin of America. I think that those people are corrupt and they don't know what they're doing. I'd rather go to the Bezin of the Sachtas Rabbanim, the Satra Bezin, a different Bezin. So he chooses his Bezin, he chooses his Bezin, and therefore each one can disqualify the other one's Bezin. Not disqualify that they're not qualified, but he can go and reject the other. I don't want to go to Bezin of America. I don't want to go to the Satmara Bezin, or whatever. Then, Shneyen Borlehen Oid Echad. Since they could not come to terms mutually to accept one Bezin, then the two parties, they choose a third Bezin, and they do not use those first two. And therefore, although we're starting off the Mishnah the same way that we did it until now, the Zer Borlehen means he chooses one Bezin, and the other person chooses the other Bezdin. And the way we learned in the Havamina was, and now the two parties choose a third Bezdin to be mitzaref with the first two. So now we have nine Dayanim. And Rashi said at the top, that doesn't make sense. So therefore the Gemara modifies that slightly. The first person brought one Bezdin, the other guy doesn't like him and say, no, I'm not going to work with them. The second one charges, it goes and chooses a Bezdin, and the first one says, I'm not going to work with them. So therefore those two Batidinim are not going to be present in this litigation, but rather Ushnehen, the two parties, they are together going to mutually agree to a third Bezin, the Bezin of Belz, or the Bezin of Vishnitz, or whatever, a third Bezin. So when this one chooses one, and this chooses the other, both of those will be deferred, put aside, and then Shnei Boilin Echot, so now we're good. They only choose one Bezin of three at the end. Freit Dimar, you're telling me that both panels, or both parties, can go and reject the other one's Bezin, or fill a loiva matzim akiv. Even the loiva can go and say to the malva. Loiva is typically, of course, the defendant. The malvas bring the loiva to Bezin. Loiva, you didn't pay me on my chayv. So even the loiva can go and say, I don't want your Bezin. What business does he have saying that? Vom rebeluza loishonu ele malva. Ava loiva koifen oise vedon beiroi. What is this loishonu? The Gemara doesn't tell us the background. So Rashi tells us the background is, what happens again, you have two parties coming to Bezin. One of them says, I want to go and paskin over here. I want to go to the local Bezin. And the other party says, I want to go to the Beis Havad. Beis Havad means a very prominent Bezin, which is not located here. It's located 20 miles away. These two people live somewhere in the Catskills throughout the year, and there's not much of a minion over there, there's not much of a dayanim over there. So one says, okay, but the local rabbi, he's fine, he's great, let's take him. And the other one says, no, I don't trust these. These are hillbillies. They don't know what's going on. We got to go into the city, into New York, into Brooklyn, and Muncie, whatever, and we're going to find a great dayan over there, a great bezin over there. So when the Gemara says that, I'm looking at the Rashi, about 10, 12 lines in, loishanu, Echad Amma Nidan Kan. One of the parties says, I want to be done over here, locally. V'echad Amma, no, I don't want to go locally. Ne'ochad Be'savad, let's go to the big city. Let's go from here to Philadelphia. Let's go to Lakewood. Let's go somewhere else with the Be'savad. You can force the other party to go to the more prominent bezin of the greater expertise and the greater mumchen. However, getting back to Gemara, says Rabbi Lozal Leishana, when can you do that? Elamalva, the malva can schlep the loive to go to the better bezin somewhere else. Avaloive, if the loive says, I don't want to go to the local guys, I want to go to the base avad. You got to stay here. After all, you happen to be the loive. And Rashi quotes the pasuk, Evid loive liish malva. The loive, by definition, is subject to the whims of the malva. After all, the malva is the one that lent him the money. So be good, not loive. Don't cause him tzuris. It's bad enough that you're not paying on your chayv, but you want to schlep him 20 miles away. Go and be done over here locally. So that's the din by a loive. Yet we're saying in our Mishnah, according to the new pshat in the Mishnah, the malva chose one bezin, and the loive said, no, I don't like that bezin, forget about it. And then the loive chose a bezin, the malva said, I don't like your bezin. And then the two come together, and they agree to a third bezin. Who are you, loive, to be empowered to go and object to the malva's bezin? We just said, leishanu, you have no right. Loive koifanois v'dam b'irai. You got to stay here locally. You have no daya over here. The Gemara gives two terutz. Terutz daman kiram Rabbi Yochanan bar choy shebesur yeshanu. We're going to talk about this Rabbi Yochanan in about 10-12 lines, and therefore the Gemara is now, it's actually a third of the very wide lines down below. The Gemara is Rabbi Yochanan bar choy shebesur yeshanu. So just like there, we're going to have that teretz. We're already using that teretz here. Now, bear in mind the term archois, typically throughout Shas, as well as in the Shulchan Aruch, is typically talking about a goyish Beit HaMishpat, meaning a goyish court, secular courts, like you have here in New York and like you have throughout the world, which are run by the local governments, etc. Here, however, the archois is not referring to a Gentile judge. Here we're talking about Jewish judges. However, they are not paskening based on Din Torah, they're paskening based on their own logic and their own seichel, as well as, you know, they went to law school, so they know rules of jurisprudence and things of that nature, but they're not paskening al pi Din Torah. See, if you look at the Rashi bar choy shebes Surya, Rashi is about a third down the Omid, bar choy shebes Surya, shaloi hoyu bekiyam b'din Torah. These people, they happen to be Jews, yeah, but they're not baki in Din Torah, they didn't learn choy shemishpat. Therefore, back to our Mishnah, the reason why when Reuven went and chose his panel, and then Shimon has the right to go and reject them, even though Shimon happens to be the loive, and the loive is Eved Loive Lishmalve, what right does he have to reject somebody else's panel? Because the panel was not a panel of a Bezdin, as we know it, being Paskin Yalpid Din Torah, but it's a panel of three nice people, and the Jews, and fine and good, and the local community had elected them to be the judges, and yes, they're empowered to be judges, but since they don't pass in the Torah, the second part of the lady could say, no, I just want in Torah, I don't want to go to a secular Jewish court.
Why would the Mishnah even bring up such a scenario about judges who aren't shouldn't it be assumed that every judgment should go according to Din Torah?
That what you're saying is correct. However, parties can agree between themselves to go to a secular court. You don't have to go. One should go to Din Torah. One should go to a Bezin. No question about it. But if the parties between themselves agree to different standards, so to speak, no, I don't need a Bezin. This is such a simple case. I'd rather go and take Yanku, Beryl, and Shmerel. They don't have to be the chief rabbis. As long as they're intelligent people, they understand. I have here a choiv. He owes me. Here's my shtar choiv. Shows he owes me $100. Isn't that really anything that you need the U.S. Supreme Court
to? Still, according to Torah, it's just very simple adjudication.
Right.
So
I agree with you, but apparently the rabbis were busy, or that there weren't any great Talmid Chacham in this community. It was a small little town, only 12 people. They didn't have enough to go and afford a bezin, or there were no rabbis present. They only lived in the big cities. But instead, the local community said, you know what, any time that there is a litigation between two parties, let's take Yankel Ben Shmuel. They're decent, they're honest, they're nice guys, they're intelligent, we'll work it out among them. So this was the normal procedure in that town. in Syria, for instance, and now the Malva says, let's do the way we always do it.
So this is like sanctioning adjudication not based on the halacha? How could rabbis do that?
It's sanctioning based on the parties agreeing. For instance, if you happen to be in the diamond business on 47th Street, all of their contracts all say that if there's a dispute between two or more dealers, then they have to go in front of the board of arbitration of the Diamond Dealers Club. Right. And this has been held by Bati Dinim to be enforceable, because if that's what they agreed to by agreement, that we're not going to go to a secular court and or to a Jewish court, but we're going to go to one or more arbitrators or mediators, that's fine. If that's what you agree to, that's what you agree to.
Every brokerage agreement, you sign a waiver to not sue the broker and to go to arbitration.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's binding. That's it. You can't go and say, "Well, I changed my mind. I want to sue now in civil court." You're mm-hmm. stuck. You're stuck with arbitration.
Exactly. So this is the same type of thing. So then that case, if Reuven, the plaintiff, says, "I want to just go to normal achoyis, like 99% of the people go," and the lawyer is being a difficult character, he's saying, no, I don't want to go to achoyis b'sura. He has the right to go and reject them. He didn't sign such a waiver clause in his brokerage agreement, and so therefore he says, okay, you want to take anybody else to a litigation, fine, go to achoyis. But for me, I dafka want the Torah, I'm disqualifying, I'm rejecting those. And that's what our mission is talking about. But in fact, if the plaintiff had chosen a proper bezin of mumchin, in other words, a real bezin, then the loive, the defendant, would not have any right to go and reject them and say, no, I don't want them. You're forced to go with the malve, ever loive lishmalve. So that's teretz number one. Even if you're talking about mumchen, they are experts. And what's the problem over here? Remember, we just said a moment ago, Rabbi Lozer said, meaning that if the loyva says, I don't want your mumchen, I rather want to go to the base of Ad, where their chief rabbis is a real great mumchen, you have no choice, you have to go here locally. You can't go and schlep someone to the base of Ad. So, said the Gemara, so how over here, how did our Mishnah say that the loyva can go and reject? So, the first heretz that we had was, because we're not talking about mumchen, we're talking about these archois. Rabbi says, no, even against mumchen, the loyva can say, I do not want to go to your mumchen, I want to go to my mumchen. We just said now that the loive, ever loive lishmalve, he cannot go and force the malve to go somewhere else. It's talking about that both batei dinim are in the same location. The location was large enough. Manhattan is a very large community. Brooklyn's a very large community, etc. There were two batei dinim. And who were the two batei dinim? One was the Bezin of Huna, and one was the Bezin of Chizda. Wow, these are G'dayli Adar, these are real Kreis HaMenshin. In such a case, the loive can say to the malve, you chose Rav Huna, I don't want Rav Huna, I rather want Rav Chizda. We said the loive can't go and schlep him somewhere else. If I was schlepping you from New York to New Jersey to New York, from Monticello to the city, then you're right. I'm just schlepping you from 89th Street to 90th Street. The two Batei Dinim are across the street from each other. So therefore, that's no tircha. Then the loive does have a right to say, I don't want your bezin, I'd rather have my bezin. How do I know that Rav Huna and Rav Chizda were both in the same town? Well, number one, that's what the Gemara implies. Rashi says, Travaya b'chad mokam.
They were not speaking to us for a long period.
That's a different story. But then now the Gemara says, if you remember back on the Yud Zayin on the base, when the Gemara was quoting all those various somewhat vague terms, the Gemara said, who are the dining work with
then under they rob by in the middle opposite the Gosabach.
Sabi the Sura. Let's go up another 8 or 9 lines.
Thank you.
No problem. So it says in the middle of the Omid, who are the Sabi the Sura? If you ever find in Shas that it talks about Sabi the Sura, the elders of Sura, those Rav Huna and Rav Chizda. So you see that they were together in one place, which one place was in Sura, like we just saw. Anyway, so again, the bottom line is, that's when the loive can. So we have two terutzim. When can the loive go and say, I don't want your bezin? Either in a case where the bezin zuntait happen to be archois, they're not mumchim, And the second case is, even if they are mumchim, he can also go and reject them if the other bezin happens to be local. I don't wonder if Huna's bezin, I wonder if his bezin. He has the right to say that. Okay, tonight. According to the second Pshat Rapapa, I got a big, big problem. What's my problem? Tonight, let's go back to the Mishnah. Until now, we discussed Rav Meir, now we're going to discuss Rav Chacham. The two Dayanim go and pick out a third one. If you're going to tell me, like you learned Pshat in Rav Meir, in other words, the Chacham are just, I don't want to use the term piggybacking because that's, you know, a Chazrish term, but they are just taking Rav Meir and they're adding their own gloss on Rav Meir. In which respect? That Rav Meir said, the Reuven, the Malve, the plaintiff, he chooses one bezin, such as the Trapapa, the bezin Rav Huna. Says the Loive, no, I don't want Rav Huna, I want my bezin Rav Chisda. So what happens now? Said the way the Gemara learned, since he is rejecting his and he's rejecting the other guys, so then the two parties get together and they choose a third bezin, not Rav Huna, not Rav Chisda, the bezin of Rav Rami Bar Choma, somebody else. Yeah, exactly. Figure out a third party. Okay, so that's how we're learning Rav Meir. But now let's look at the Chacham. And what do the Chacham say? Shnei Dayanim Barin Lehoid Echad, meaning that after Reuven chose one bezin, and that bezin was rejected by the other guy, and then Shimon chose a bezin, then Reuven rejected his bezin, and now what happens is the two Batei Dinim get together and they choose the third bezin. That's what the Mishnah said. Shnei Dayanim Barin Lehoid Echad. Bezdin, if you're going to learn like you've been learning until now, Reuven chooses one bezin, Shimon chooses the other bezin, and now, according to Chachamim, it's not the two parties that now choose the third bezin, but rather the two batidinim choose the third bezin. Does that make sense? Bezdin basa depasiluhu, once they've been rejected, ozlu barluhu beidin achrini, they are the ones now that choose a third bezin. Of course, that doesn't make sense. The two have been rejected, so they're not in the picture anymore. So who's asking them for their
opinion?
They're
not in the picture to done the case, but they do have jurisdiction to done the final jurisdiction.
The two parties say, I don't want this bezin. This one says, I don't want that bezin. So to judge
the litigation, but not to judge the jurisdiction.
Not to choose the third.
Well, we're not talking about jurisdiction. We're talking about choosing now a third panel of rabbis.
Right.
Once Reuven says, I don't want your panel, and Shimon says, I don't want your panel.
You're saying they're totally rejected.
They totally rejected. Okay. So, you know, who are they? So then go to another panel somewhere else and go in Australia. Go to the North Pole. But these two have nothing to say because they have been rejected. That's our kasha. Now, apropos to when Mendy asked before, as says the Ran, the Gemara could also have asked that this pshat doesn't make sense in the Chachamim, because it doesn't say that shtei hem born le'oid echad. Say shnei dayanin. So go and say shnei dayanin means that the two batei dinim go and choose a third one. That doesn't make sense. It says shnei dayanim. Remember that was your question, Mendy, and that's what the Ran says. The Gemara could have asked that over here as well. V'oid, and yet another question. Ask Gemara. We started off that dinim amidus v'shloisha zeh bar le'yachad. This one chooses one, and the other one rejects it. Then he chooses one, and the other one rejects it. So Gemara zeh bar le'yachad zeh bar le'yachad. Ella so chayt Gemara va'oid my zeh bar le'yachad zeh bar le'yachad. What's the question? My says Rashi to mashma dehochi dina. It sounds like you're starting off the Mishnah. Dinim amidus v'shloisha. I'll explain to you what does that mean. How do you work it out? Well, what means dinim amidus v'shloisha? I'll tell you. What happens is that one party chooses one and the other one rejects it. And then the other one chooses one and the other guy rejects it. That's the meaning of dinim amidus v'shloisha. It's obvious that the two parties might not reject the other guy. Maybe they both agree initially to one panel of judges. They both agree, go to this Bezin of America, go to Satmar Bezin, go to Belzer, go to Vizhitzer, whoever they happen to be. Says Zokti Gemara, the word zeb bor le'ech, that sounds like these are the procedures that apply to all cases. You want to have three dayanim, so zeb bor le'echad, the plaintiff has to choose a bezin, and then the loyve should go and reject it. And then the loyve rejects it, so then what are we left with? So then the two parties have to go and find a third one. Does that make sense? What happens if the two parties are relatively friendly and they agree initially? They don't have to reject it, no? Zokti mora, ella brand pshat rabbeisai, ella hachi kamar. Don't learn the Mishnah like we learned until now. Zeboi leyachad, he chooses a bezin. And he chooses a bezin. No. Hachi Kamar. Our Gemara says Kishazeh. However, the Bach takes out the Chavshin and says Hachi Kamar. Our Mishnah says Zeh Boreloi Dayan Echad. Oh, the original plaintiff, he chooses one Dayan. I want Rabbi Smith. Vizeh, and now the Loivis says, fine, you got Rabbi Smith. I'm choosing now Rabbi Jones. Vizeh Boreloi Dayan Echad. Now Shneyan, the two parties together, since he has already chosen Rabbi Smith, he's chosen Rabbi Jones, we now need a third one. The two parties together, they're going to choose the third rabbi, Rabbi Goldberg, who's going to complete the rabbinic panel. So in a sense, each one has chosen one and a half dayanim. He has his one, he has his one, and the two have come together on the third. Frank Timura, Maishno the Avdi Hachi. Why do they choose it in that way? Why does our Mishnah say that this is the way one should proceed? About if you have established medicine, fine. But our Mishnah says if there was no established medicine, he chooses Yankel, he chooses Beryl, the two parties together choose Shmerel. Why do we do it that way? Amri b'marav mishmeid Reb Zeira. I'll tell you why. Because this almost guarantees that the Din Torah will be accepted by both parties. In other words, that the Psak Din will be accepted by both parties. Why, when, where? Mitrek shezeh bar leidayin echad. Zeh bar leidayin echad. Ushneim bar leidayin oide echad. Then it will come out to its truth. What means that it's going to come out to its truth? Says Rashi, both of them will accept the Psak Din. Because if it was only one side that chose the Dianim, and not both sides, then the losing side will say, it was fixed, and he gave him a bribe, and he's a friend of his, and he's on his, he gives him a salary, or whatever. He was on his payroll. However, if Reuven chose Rabbi Smith, and then Shimon chooses Rabbi Jones, and he knows a Rabbi Jones. That's my, he's a good Jones, smart. Every time I speak to him, I'm always astounded. I'm amazed, almost as amazed as when I'm speaking to Brother Barry or to Brother Ariel or Brother Amir or to Brother Mendy or to Brother Shai. I'm amazed at the Torah knowledge and the Talmudic wisdom and the intelligence. It's shivaldi. And now, if he loses the case, what is he going to say? My Rabbi Jones, shmata, he doesn't know what he's talking about. A day ago, he said he's the greatest thing known to mankind. And now he's saying it's a shmata. So this way, it's more or less guaranteed that everybody's going to listen to the Psak Din because I chose my Dayan. If my Dayan thought that I was right, he would have put in arguments on my behalf. So apparently, unfortunately, I was the wrong party after all. So now we have explained Remeir in some detail, and we have concluded, Baruch Hashem, not that we're choosing three Batei Dinim, but we're choosing three Dayanim. Dayan 1, Dayan 2, and the two together choose Dayan number 3. Now, what do the Chachamim hold? Now, this is exactly like Mendy was learning from the outset. Not that the two parties choose Rabbi Goldberg as the third Dayan, but the Shnei Dayanim. Now you have Rabbi Jones and Rabbi Smith, or Smith and Rabbi Jones. They together are going to choose Dayan number 3. And now we no longer have the problem that the Gemara said, after they've been rejected, how can they go and appoint a third? They have not been rejected. They've been accepted. The Malviz Dayan, the Loivis Dayan, they're going to go and adjudicate, but we need a Dayan number 3. So the two Dayanim together will go and get Dayan number 3. So now, bottom line is, what's the machlokes between Remeir and the Chachamim? The only machlokes is, who chooses the third Dayan? According to Remeir, it's the two parties that choose the third Dayan. And according to Chachamim, it's the two Dayanim that choose the third Dayan. So why do the Chachamim disagree with Remeir? Name of the Ravuna Marav, Kamifrid, Yam Ravuna Marav. A person who has been asked to go and witness, sign as a witness on a shtar, does not want to go and sign unless he knows who the other signer is together with him. Why is that? Because what happens if subsequently it turns out that the other chosem, the other aide, has a cloud on top of him, above him, that he might be an apostle or whatever? So the first aide who was chosen, who Baruch Hashem has is a real miyuchas, doesn't afterwards to be kind of guilty by association. The people will say, this whole thing smells. You see where that second aide that signed? Exactly. I don't want to sign together with him, you know. I've had dealings with him already before. He's a mischievous type of guy, and who knows? So anybody that was appointed to go and sign doesn't sign unless he knows who his colleague is going to be. Ah, so that's the same thing. Say the Chachamim, the two Dayanim don't want to sit on this panel until they know who the third Dayan is going to be. Because for all we know, the two parties are going to agree to some sort of Dayan that we consider to be untrustworthy or dishonest or Adam or it's Tiraisim Drabbanan. So that's why they have the right to select that third. Since Reb Meir doesn't hold that way, and Reb Meir says the two parties can go and choose the third Dayan, it would appear that that's the Machlaikis. Name Rav Yudam Rav Kamiflagi. Zokimona, Remail, and that what? Remail, Leslie, Rav Yudam Rav, Rabban Islam, Rav Yudam Rav. The Kulialmi Islam, everybody agrees, Rav Yudam Rav. Vedasa Dayanim, Kulialmi Li, Pliga Debeinan. And in fact, even Remail agrees that when the two parties choose the third Dayan, that third Dayan has to be acceptable to the first two Dayanim. So that the two parties cannot impose on Rabbi Smith and Rabbi Jones an unacceptable third dayan. Everybody agrees that two dayanim have to be maskim. Only question is, ki pligi das bali dinim. Do we need the input of the bali dinim or not? According to Chacham, no, who cares for the bali dinim? Once they have their representative, he has Rabbi Jones, he has Rabbi Smith, finished. Now let the two rabbis together, and they'll choose the third rabbi. No. You need the input of the two balidinim. Remember, the Gemara said, because we want this din to be la'amitoi, and like Rashi said, that the balidinim should be tzaisi, that they should go and listen to psak. The more involvement that they have in the construction of the rabbinical tribunal, of the rabbinical panel, the greater the likelihood is that they're not going to afterwards reject the psak din, because I have 1.5 dayanim in the mix over here. I chose Rabbi Smith, and I was a half. I chose Rabbi Goldberg together with the other day. So it's much more likely that each one will be Mitzayas Dina to listen to the psak. Once they chose the first two dayanim, the balidinim have no further say in the makeup of the tribunal. The two dayanim would choose the third one. Okay, so with this we've now concluded the machlokes. Tanakama, the Chum, and Rebbe. We're going to come back to this naturally, but in the meantime, first we review once again. Guf Om Rav Yudam Rav. Ein Eidim Choisem Leshtar Elim Kein, unless they know who is Michoisem in Moher. So this is a memra of Rav, and the Gemara says Tanya Machi. I'll bring a Rav from a Brisa, and the Brisa is even more expansive. Ka Choyin Niki Adas Yibir Yishalayim Oisin. The Niki Adas means the Choshev intellectuals, the Choshev Tamid Chum Yerushalayim, what would they do? Like we just said, they wouldn't sign unless they know who the other signer is. And they wouldn't sit at a din toilam. Exactly our facts over here. The Rabbi Smith and Rabbi Jones says, and we're not going to go and adjudicate unless we find out who that third dayan is, and it has to be acceptable to us. And moreover, they would not go and enter into a suda, into a feast, and sit at a table unless they knew who the other people were at the table. Why? What's so terrible? Says Rashi, if they're going to have table, you're making a big chasana, and you have 30 tables, and you're going to put Rabbi Jones on table number 12, and then he gets to the chasam, to that table, he sees that the other 9 people at the table are all amaratzim, and all they can talk about is, are the Knicks better, are the Yankees better, are the Mets better, and this one, and should they hire a new coach? And this guy's saying, I was hoping to say Epsat Vatoyran, to share with them some Divrei Chassidus, Divrei Yisorris, Divrei Musar, let's go in, and instead they want the Knicks with the Mets, and they made their Trump, and he's a camel, and so therefore, they would only sit down once they knew who they're going to be sitting next to make sure that they'll be able to have an intelligent discussion of Torah and not just talk about Shtus.
Rabbi Harry Cohen used to quote this when I at a simcha, I'd ask if I could sit next to them, they'd say, and he'd quote this Gemara.
Okay, so you were approved.
He'd agree. No, then he'd let me sit. I'd say, I took it as a compliment, but he always would quote, he'd quote this Gemara. He'd say, Nikiyadas.
Nikiyadas, so I guess even the Kiyadas in Manhattan also have the same view. Very good. And now we continue on.
Olav Hashalom.
Skrandabach. Getting back to our Mishnah, we had in the Mishnah, Zeh Poisel Dayonai, that each party can go and possibly reject the dying of the other side. Who are you, you Shmendrick? You're saying that this is a tremendous tavach. Rabbi Smith, she has 12 different heteroiros, michas from the chief rabbinate of everywhere, the whole world, and you don't like him? How can you do that? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. This is the same Rabbi Yochanan that we quoted before. Bar Choy Shebesuri Yeshana. Al Mumchem Loi. We're only talking about a case of Choy Shebesuri. These were an agreed panel that the local community adopted as their form of rabbinical tribunal or judicial tribunal. However, one of the two parties said, no, I don't want to have these hejoitis. No matter how well conceived this was to put these three judges here, and they may know they're very smart and very logical and they have a tremendous intellect, but I want Tamid Chacham, I want Mumchem. So then, and then you're allowed to go and passel. That's what the Mishnah is referring to. A mumchen like, but a mumchen you could not go and reject. If the guy is a big Talmud Chacham, you can stand on your head. You can't reject the other guy's diet. Frey Timura, really? Let's look at the Sefer. When can one party reject the other one? When there's a real flaw. In other words, Ksheim HaMumchen B'Bezin, well known as Talmud Chacham. You can't just go and say, no, I don't want them. Oh, if that's what the Chum are saying, Mechlal, let's infer from that, the Rameir Mumchen Nami Kamar. Obviously, there's a Machloikis in the Mishnah, because Rameir says, they're Poisel of the Yonim, they're Poisel of the Yonim. Say, Chum, no, you can only do that when they're Kareem Absulim. But if they're Mumchen, you can't reject them. It's like Mashma, the Rameir holds, even if they're Mumchen, you can reject them. It's like just the opposite of what we just said. Everything Machloikis Kamar. We have to restructure the Chacham's words. Avlam hoyuk sheirim. If these were not just anybody's, but these were sheirim, well known for their honesty and integrity, nasu kimumchem ipi bezem any yachla poislan, then automatically they get the status as if they are mumchem, even if they're not. But just by the fact that they have an established status in the community of being sheirim, of being erlecha, not being ganovim, not being gazlanim, they're not psulim, whatever. Im hayuk sheirim, then nasu. So not like the lashon of our mishnah. Im hayuk sheirim oy mumchin en yachal apaislam. But rather, if they were sheirim, and that therefore they have been endowed by the community as if they are mumchin, then says the Tanakh, says the chacham en yachal apaislam. Says Rameir, I disagree with you. Even though they are sheirim, and even though they're wonderful people, and everybody looks upon them as being very well established and reputable and very good, but nevertheless, since they only happen to be archois and they are not a bezdin, therefore I don't want them. So that's the machloek between the mayor and the chacham. But not my, if it's a real mumcha according to this Gemara's teretz, you cannot reject them.
Even according to the mayor.
Even according to the mayor. Toshima, omelay the mayor. We're going to see from this brisa lechoyin not what we just said. Say the chum to Rameir, loikale menusha poisel dayin she mumcha l'rabim. How, Rameir, how can you even have that thought that one of the two parties can go and reject a Rabbi Smith, who's a chief rabbi, who's a mumcha l'rabim? Emphati Gemara, that's not the way you should understand it. Eima loikale menu, the chachum is saying to Rameir, each party cannot be poisel dayin shehim chuhu rabim aleim. Not that he happens to be inherently a mumcha because of his great Torah knowledge, but imchu rab lalem means that the rabbim put their imprimatur, they gave the stamp of approval, the seal of approval, to this dayan, even though he's only a hedjoit. So once again, we're only talking about ksheirim, we're not talking about real mumchem. Real mumchem, even Rameh would agree, you cannot reject.
When does someone travel from the status of ksheirim kimumchem to mumcha? Is that tzmicha? Is that
the Gemara is assuming that ksheirim is according to this teretz with Rabbi Yochanan is synonymous with archois shebesuria. What are archois? As we said before,
civil courts that are just populated by Jews.
So exactly, and which the local community has adopted. Not that these two or three wonderful people got up and said one day, you know, we're going to establish our own panel, anybody wants to come to us, but that they were the committee or the community voted with upon them, or they sat down and they discussed it and they said, unfortunately, our community doesn't have great rabbis, or the great rabbis have moved to Lakewood or to Muncie or somewhere else, but we want to take these three distinguished people. They are the Pnei HaKohol, they sit at the front of the room, they're the big menadvin, the people that are always giving a lot of money for tzedakah, and these are people that know how to say avort on Shabbos, on the parasha. These are nice and people of integrity and honesty. We think that they should be our tribunal. So those are the ksheirim. And therefore, himchu rabim aleim, it's as if the rabim endowed them with the status as if they are mumchim, But they're not. Because if they were real mumchim, the Rebbe would not disagree. He's only disagreeing with the Archos. Tana mihochi, taka varai from a rice, even place of a hoylech and shekabal ola bezdin, shemumche le rabim. You can always passel anybody and everybody until you come to the point of a person who's mumche alpi bezdin, a real mumche, and even Rebbe would agree that you cannot reject them. Because we're learning like Rabbi Yochanan, you can only reject Kshayrim, but not real Mumchim. Freiti Gemara. Until now, we were talking about Dayanim, and what you said, okay, I can hear it. There are two different levels of Dayanis. You have the Mumchim, and you have the Adjoitis, the Kshayrim. Okay, I don't want Kshayrim, I only want Mumchim. But the next case of the Mishnah is talking about Edim. What does it say by Edim? It says, there are two the same Lashon, that according to the mayor, Zeh Poisel Edov Shulzeh, Zeh Poisel Edov Shulzeh. How can you possibly passel somebody else's Edim? You know, obviously, if there's some sort of flaw, because he's a mumli, they're ganovim, or they're psulim, kroivim. But that's what the chum hold. Because chum oimrim, amos, I'm not able to write shame, kroivim, psulim. Yeah. Abhoyuk shayrim, and yochel apoyslan. So, how does the mayor hold that if he's Edim ksheirim, that you can passel them? I don't understand that. Freiti moriyat, for Edim kimumchim dami. We mean mumchim in terms of that Edim, unless you have some problem, they're impeccable. Just like mumchim are experts in the law, the Edim are experts in the facts. They know exactly what happened. They know that Reuven lent money to Shimon. They were there. It was Monday morning, right after the daf. Reuven went over to Shimon, you need money, blah, 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 and they were present, and they saw he gave him fresh dollar bills, and he can go and answer all the drishas, hakiris. So they're just like mumchim. And nevertheless, Rameh says, the place later shall say, the place later shall say. So the chor that undermines the Gemara's teretz, that we're talking about second level dayanim, archoi shibisuria, not mumchim. Edom, by definition, are mumchim in terms of the facts. Everything more hit Maralah. In fact, Omer Reish Lakish, when Reish Lakish heard this in the name of Rameh, he said, Hekadosh Yoimar Dover Zeh. How could it possibly be that Rameh should say something like that? Rameh is a Pekadosh. Why did Reish Lakish refer to him as a Pekadosh? You're going to see that in Mitchum tomorrow's Gemara. Gemara is going to discuss that. But the point is, Reish Lakish is really going and showing tremendous respect for Rameh. How can he possibly, I'm going to possibly have a guy's Edom? You'll never be able to have justice in this world. Anytime you have Edom coming and saying, this person was Michal Shabbos, we give him Masra and Michal Shabbos. Those Edom, get out of here, I reject them, I don't believe in them. Says Rameh, says in the Mishnah, you can be Poisel Edom. How can you be Poisel Edom? Rather, says Imar Tni, Edoi. Change the Lashon of the Mishnah, not Poisel Edov, which would mean both Edom, Poisel Edoi, one Ed. So, Frank Timura, tell me the whole story. Don't just say one aid, do it. Aid ulamai. What's the aid coming for? Ilayim ulamamina, we're talking about dini mamminis. And you need for dini mamminis, al pishnayim aidim yokum dover. And you only have one. I don't need that Yankel or Beryl should go and reject the aidoi. Rahman Basli, the Torah says you have to have al pishnayim aidim. So, of course, you and I and anybody can go and passel one aid. One aid is worthless. Ilishvua, if you don't know, we're talking about Munchai Veshvua, Maidim Mitzvah, if that's the case. Hemuni Mehemin Kibetrei. The Torah says that one has a status like two, and just like you don't have the ability to go and reject two, so here you don't have the ability to reject one. So what's going on? I don't understand the Torah. We're talking about a mumminous case. You said that you have to have two Edim, one is worthless. Vaitzricha the Kimli Alei Kibetrei. And this is similar to what we were discussing before with Ariel, that even though the Torah says to go and prove a dini mamon situation between Reuven and Shimon, you have to have a bishnai made him yakadam. What happens if the Malva and the Loiva both agree? You know what? I heard that this Mr. Smith is coming in. That aid, everybody went, Mr. Smith, his word is his bond, his code is bond, his bond is world, or whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. And then whatever he says, everybody knows is absolutely true. There's no fake news. He is really trustworthy, and everybody, people would trust him with millions of dollars without asking any questions, without any documents. Well, you know, he's great. So, even though normally you need two aids, but both agreed that one aid would be enough. And guess what happens? Before they actually start the case, then the lawyer says to himself, you know, what did I do for myself? I dug a grave for myself, because I know that I owe the money. And if we're going to go and believe this one aid and everybody agrees, I'm going to lose this case. You know, I changed my mind. You have to have, I'm sorry, Malva, I changed my mind. You have to bring two aid. This Mr. Smith, his word is great, but the trader requires two. I require to. So my kamash mulan. What is our Mishnah telling you? The motzi hoder bay. He can change his mind. Ah, so now that's the pshat in the Mishnah. What it says in the Mishnah is a poisel, not a dove. It's a doishel zeh. So you ask me, if you're talking about dinim mamnes, you need two. One is worthless. It's talking about that the other party says, I agree that this one should have the status of two. Says the Mishnah, is there a place that he can change his mind and say, no, I changed my mind, bring two edim, one is not enough. Frank Timur, if that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, Tanina, didn't we already learn this? Where did we already learn this? This is the Mishnah that we're going to have in Yetz Hashem tomorrow on the Amud Aleph, where it says that you can do the same thing by dionim as well. Normally, if one of the panel of Dayanim is related to one of the Bali Din, then of course he's Possel, he's a Karev. Karev Possel not only for Edis, but also for Dayanis. He may be the greatest rabbi in the world, but he cannot be the Dayan if his son happens to be one of the Bali Dinim. Right? You can't go and give a clemency or pardon to your own son. Well, I guess you can. But anyway, so Tanina, so we learned in the Gemara. Amaloi, Neman Ole Abba. This is the mission of Yetz Hashem, tomorrow's Amud Aleph. Amaloi, what happens if the two parties, one says to the other, Neman Olai Abba, Neman Olai Avicha, even though under normal Torah law, my father and your father would be disqualified, but I accept it. I'm willing to accept my father, I'm willing to accept your father. Not only that, but Neman Olai Gimla Roye Bakar. I am willing to go and take three Roye Bakar, three shepherds. The only thing that they know about is where you can find the best pasture for grazing, and what do you do with the fertilizer after the animals do their thing. That's the great chachma of these Roye Bakar. But if they both agree that they should be the rabbis, that they should be the bezin, you're allowed to agree. Zakti Imar, Remeir Oimer, just like you're allowed to agree. Just like you accepted them, I changed my mind.
At what point?
Obviously before they are ready to decide the case. I mean, presumably even before they...
But you can see they're inclining one way. You can say, I changed.
That's a good question. And maybe the Gemara will deal with that. But at this point, all we know is, or maybe, that you can change your mind. So here too, I originally accepted Mr. Smith to be the equivalent of two Adam. I changed my mind. He's only one Adam. So you can do that. Come any yochalachzibay. The Omar Rav Dimi Bereid Rav Nachman Bereid Rav Yosef. He going to Kimla Leibachad. That Mishnah that we're talking about is that they accepted one of the Dayanim. We're going back to Abba and Avicha. That what is the discussion about? That we need three rabbis. I accept my father. I accept your father to be the Dayan, and that works. And nevertheless, what does it say in the Mishnah? Remei hold yochalachzibay. So aren't we repeating the same halacha twice? He was saying, Legabe the Edim, I chose and I agreed that this one Ed would be like two, and I changed my mind. Says the Mishnah, Machloek is Remeir Nechom, can you do that? And then by Dayanim, he says the same thing. We chose Abba or Avicha to be one of the Dayanim, and now I changed my mind. Same Machloek. It's afraid tomorrow, what do you have to say it twice? So I'll tell you why I have to say it twice. Ditan, if it only say that next Mishnah, Abba v'Yavicha, b'ha kam Rabbanan. The other Rabbanan says, the loy matzi hadabe. You know why you can't change your mind? Shum de Abba v'Yavicha, chazil alma. Because Abba v'Yavicha are ro'oi for all cases in the world, with the exception of this case, because
they're a karov.
Of course, they're a karov. But otherwise, he's a very distinguished and reputable and honest dayanim. Abba chad ki betray, do li alma loy chazi. You never find a case, the Gabi Hilchas Mominus, that one has a status of two. You try to impose a brand new halacha, brand new idea, that I agree that he should be like two, even he's only one. Kol HaTorah Kula throughout the world, that one would never work. So, I would think that maybe the Rabban agreed to Rameir that you cannot go and crown one A to make him two, and therefore if you yochalachzabai, by the yonim he can't yochalachzabai because these are very distinguished yonim. They have decided. Look, each one has written 10 volumes of tshuvasvar. They're tremendous. In this particular case, they're no good because they are kroivim. So if both of us agree, we waive the kroivim problem. Fine, so they can leave. So you cannot change your mind. That's what the chachamim hold in that case of the yonim. But the gabi edus. It's never a case that one eight can be as good as two for mom and is, so maybe they would agree to a mayor that you can change your mind. V'yashmin b'ha'af, it only in our case, b'ha'akam and a mayor, that you can change your mind, because there's no such concept of one eight being two eight by mom and is. Abahim, the case of Dayanim, e'moyle rabbanan, these are distinguished rabbanan, these rabbis are distinguished Dayanim for kol ha'Torah kula, so once you agree to it, I would think You're stuck, you cannot change your mind. So you have to have both cases. Zoktimar, so what is this teretz all based on? It's all based on a change in the lashon of the Mishnah. Instead of saying a dov, it says a doi. Frey Timara, Minitani Reisha, Dayonoi, Vesefa, a dov, Al Medavke Ktani. If you go back to the lashon of Mishnah on the Amid Aleph, when we had on the fourth line, Ze Poisel Dayonoi Shalzeh. And Dayonoi, we said before, means one Dayan. Right? He says, I reject your, you reject mine. We're going to take these two with the third one, and we're going to make our rabbinical panel. So it's Dayonoi. It doesn't say Dayonov. It says Dayonoi. And then we go down three or four lines further. It says, Ze Poisel Eidov. Why didn't he say just like Dayonoi, Eidoi? Or Dayonov, like Eidov? So you see that Rebbe, when he wrote it, he wasn't just writing it, you know, in a sloppy manner, Chulila. He was being very, very bedavka. Ha-medik-tani, reisha, dayonoi, v'seif, eidov. Al-medavka-tani, we're talking about eidov, and not eidoi. Says, Imar, you got a good point. So therefore, we defer the pshat that we gave until now, 1-8, and we go back to the posh pshat, that each party is rejecting the two eidim of the other party. And now the Gemara has, we're back to square one. What right does a party have to reject two Eidim? If that's the case, you'll never have any Din Torah, any Mishpat. Every time, I don't believe those two Eidim, I reject them. So, what's Pshat? Amr Blaza, the Vahu, the Acher Lepo Islan. We're not talking about just that party alone passes the other Eidim, but he brought along a second person. So now we have, if you will, two Eidim, the party together with a disinterested third party. So the party who's in litigation, together with somebody else, the two of them say, those Eidim, no good. Frey Timura, I don't understand how that's any better. Kol Kiminei, Negev Eidusehu. The problem is that that party who's in the litigation, how could he go and passel somebody else? He's Negev Eidus.
Exactly.
Even if what he's saying is true, and Negev Eidus is disqualified because he has a prejudice in this Eidus. So we haven't gotten any further in terms of answering Akasha. That they went and established about this person that there's an error. What means error? So you look at the Rashi parallel to our Gemara. Shemet shel psul. They said, no, there's a cloud over him. He has the apostle. We're not referring to this particular din Torah. He happens to be apostle of person.
The Gavra, not the Chetzel.
Okay, so talk to you, Gemara. Ir demais. Go and tell me, what do you mean? Ilay me'ir de gazlanus, that we're saying that he happens to be a gazlan. Kol Kaminei, is he believed to go and say the other person is a Gazlan? Why didn't he give a Jusuhu? The only reason why he's saying that he's a Gazlan is because he knows that he's going to say something bad about me. In other words, he's going to say, I borrowed the money, didn't pay it back, and blah, blah, blah. So why didn't he give it? So what difference? El Ir de Gram Mishpocha. What they're saying is, this fellow, who seems to be a man of integrity and honesty, and he's the aid, I want you to know, he unfortunately has a begam. What's the begam? Says Rashi. He's an Eved, the Mishpachas Avodim. And he was never Nishtachre. Even though you see him in shul and you think to yourself, well, oh, like anybody else. Oh, he is still an Eved, and he ran away from his Odoin, and he never got a Shtar Shechre, and therefore he's an Eved. Eved, of course, is possibly Aedis. Oh, so what's the Machlokes in our Mishnah? Remei Yisavar Hani Amishpacha Kamesadi. The Iyum Melech Apostle. I'm not saying that he's anything wrong about this particular litigation that we're involved in. I'm just saying that he's a member of a family of Avadim. His father is an Eved, his mother's a Shivcha, all his brothers are Avadim, and so therefore he is in a category of people that are disqualified to testify. So he may be the nicest guy and the most honest and integrity, and he's the frummest guy in Shul. He doesn't talk during Chazor Shashatz or during Kaddish, and he's the greatest. Well, he's an Eved, and therefore he's disqualified. That's why he's possible. Iyum Melech Apostle. It's not his fault. It's just his family background.
He's a woman.
But that we won't talk about. Rabbanim Tzabri, Soif Soif, Negev Beidusayhu. Soif Soif, after everything is said and done, whatever you're going to go and say, however you're going to go and...
The result is this result.
The bottom line is, how can he be believed? He has a Negev in the Seidus, and therefore, I still don't understand Pshat Narvish. We have now Rabbi say a brand new pshat. Baruch Hashem, ki osur abdimi omer Rabbi Yochanan. Machlokes v'shtei kitei eidim. Ooh, what means shtei kitei eidim? That means that one of the two parties, l'mashal the malve, who's the plaintiff, says, Rabbi say, not only do I have one pair of eidim, I have two separate sets of eidim. One set is Yankel and Beryl, the other one is Reuven and Shimon, and I'm going to bring them both into Bezin, and they're going to go and testify that the loiva owes me money, and he's got to pay me, etc. Okay, so how does that answer anything? What means tzorach levarer? We've had this concept already before. The Gemara is going to bring the case shortly. When one of the parties says, I have two groups, two bodies of evidence, in this case, he has two separate pairs of Edom. What happens if he brings, before we get into the details of our case, what happens if he brings one pair of Edom? The pair of Edom say that he owes them the money, blah, blah, blah. And now the loiva says, okay, where is the second pair of Edom? Is there anything wrong with what the first pair of Edom said? No, they honest all the questions perfectly. There was no inconsistencies, no contradictions, no Edom Zomim, no everything they answered. They even knew the size of the Uktze to Edom. They knew everything. The question is, does that party now have to bring in the second pair of Edom or not? Says Rameh, yes, Tzorchavari, he has to bring in. Since he put that in his papers that he has two pair of Edom, you have to go and show that you have a second pair of Edom. If you don't bring a second pair of Edom, it shows that something is
fishy
over here. You said you had to, where's the second pair? They left yesterday to Australia. Come on, give me a break. So the point is, once you say it, you got to go and prove your, you made an argument, prove your argument. You don't have to be mavar. So what bearing does that have on our Gemara? What bearing it has is that now we have the first pair of Edom coming into Bezin. And we have that first pair of Edom, now the other party says about one or both of those Edom, and he says it together with another aid with him, right? He's not single, but the party takes a disinterested third person, join me, and they go and say bad things like a pegam mishpacha on that first pair of Edom, one of the two Edom. And he wants to disqualify him because of pegam mishpacha. So Rabbanan said, how can he do that? Negev Eidusehu. Says Remeir, it's not Negev Eidus, because even if we were to disqualify that first pair, he has to bring in the second pair anyway. So what I'm doing is, if the second pair doesn't come in, the other guy loses the case, because Tzarech Levar. If the second pair does come in, those Edom are going to go and say whatever the Edus is, and we'll find that what they said is true. You're going to win based on the second pair. So the fact that I knock out the first pair of Edom, no fowl, no fish, no nothing, that doesn't change anything. It's Leimal of Leimoyrit, and therefore that's why I have a right to go and pasul. Rabban and Savri, no, and Tzorchlevar, you don't have to go Mivar. Once you, even though you said you're going to bring in two pair of Edom, you're not required to bring the second pair. Afterwards, so he's going to bring the first pair. I'm going to try to go and pasul that first pair. That person can go and say, no, you have no right to go and pasul them. Well, you have that other pair of Edom. I spoke to them, and they think, I don't think that they really know the facts as well as I thought. I thought they knew it, and it's no good. So says the Kuntra Bani, you don't have to bring in the second pair. So this is the only; these are the only guys in town. This is the only pair. If the only pair, then if you're going to try to passel them, then I won't have anybody left. So that's where the machlokes is when you have shtei kiti eidim. By the way, Rashi has a second shot, ayin shah. Avu bakas achas, if in fact the other party only brought in one pair of Edom, you can't possibly passel them, because as we said, you're negeya be'edis. No matter how you frame it, shemetz psul, and they happen to be avodim, masa, why are you telling me that in this case? Because you have a negeya. Negeya, you have no right to go. But if you have two pair of Edom, says Rameir, fine. You knock out the first pair because you're negeya. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. I still have that second pair. What do you mean a second pair? Maybe the second pair went away. If you said that you have two pairs, those both pairs, they better come into Bezdin. Because if they don't come into Bezdin, you're going to lose the case even without my challenging your first pair. Because the trouble about it, you have to go and bring the guys in. So if the other guys are going to go in, and they're going to go and testify on your behalf, so then you're going to win the case based on them. So the first Edom makes no difference to Malad language. That's how the Gemara is learning at this point. Zok Gemara, but if there's only one cut, then Avad, everybody agrees, you can't passel them. Freit Gemara, it's Umru Lefon of Reb Ami v'Reb Asi. Reb Ami v'Reb Asi addressed themselves either to Reb Dimi or to Reb Yochanan, and they said, Ein Shom Elakas Achas Mahu. If there's only one pair of Edom, initially, not two pair of Edom, what would you say? There's only one. Were you listening to what we just said? Go back one line. For Amris, we already said. If there's only one pair of Edom, then of course you can't pasel. You have a negir. So what was the question of Rab Ami v'Rabasi? Rather, elenimtzis kashnia kroivin absulim mahu. Meaning, according to the mayor, you got to bring in both kitei Edom, both cuts. Okay, so he brought in the first cut, and now says Rameir, if the other party wants to reject the first cut and say there's a begam mishpacha, there are avodim, blah blah blah, no problem. He's negiah be'edus. There's no real negiah. His negiah is irrelevant because we have to hear from the second peer anyway. And if the second peer are going to say X, Y, Z, the guy's going to lose anyway. And if the second peer doesn't appear, then anyway he loses the case. So the fact that he challenges the first and he passes them, le'malav le'mayit. But what happens if Taka, the second peer, come in? By the way, his first peer come in today on Thursday morning. One of the parties, the other party obviously says, those Edom are Pesulim, I can go and show you from I have a website on Avodim, that this guy Nebuch is descended from Avodim, from slaves, and they were never Meshukrar, no good. So you and I would say, wait, you have Nikia Vedas, I don't trust what you say, and this website is probably fake news anyway, it's probably from Taktik or TikTok or from the other Y's or X's, whatever all these names are, I have no idea. But anyway, but the point is, you can't trust any of those, and it doesn't make any difference, because he has to bring the second pair of Edom. You're right, it doesn't make a difference. Now the second pair of Edom come in, and they testify, and guess what happens? And now other Edom come and make them into, for instance, Edom Zavimim. You were together with them in Chicago that morning. Or they're Kroivim. Or they're Psulim. Oh, yeah, yeah. So now what happens is
the first cut is suddenly very, very important.
Very important. Now the question is, do we go to Mafreya retroactively and say, until now you had the right to go and passel them because there was a second pair of Edom waiting in the wings as the backup? Oh, atazai. But now that backup has been destroyed and failed, can you now retroactively say that you had no right to go and passel those first Edom? So that's what he means, katachas. When katachas is remaining after the second ones were thrown away because of that we found that they're koyim absulim. Now, amalahen, kvari idu Edom. You know, that's history. Once the Edom were already made the first time, and we already passel them the first time, kvari idu Edom arishoinim, and therefore we cannot resurrect it anymore. The first pair were passeled, the second pair were passeled, and he's going to lose the case.
So is this like Rishim Shehid and Shuveinu Magi?
Yes,
because
similar.
They can't now come back and retestify as the material witnesses for the case.
It's not exactly so much. Kivin Shehid and Shuveinu Magi means to go and change your mind. Once you say that it was Avram that did the Ritzicha, you can't come back and say it wasn't Avram, it was Yitzchak or Yaakov or somebody else.
It was Esav.
Or Esav, exactly, thank you. Or Yishmael. It wasn't the, yeah, it was somebody else. You can't go and change your testimony once you've stated it. Of course, technically they do, but it's different. But it's not technically they do, you can't change. Here we're asking whether we can resurrect the original testimony and reject the passeling of one of the parties. Until now, we said, it doesn't make a difference. We have that
now
second
now
set.
Now
it's Malin Mer. Now it's become very, very relevant. So Gemara says, that is already history. That already took place. We can't resurrect it.
Why can't you then the witnesses who are trying to be impugned? Why can't the Beis Din go and revire it? See, as I said, Carl, it's very simple. Is he a brother? Is he a father?
You're talking about the first peer or the second
peer? The first peer.
First peer, they're not psul at all. He's just saying that
he wanted to.
He wanted to by saying that they had a shemitz psul that they're avodim. That they're avodim. Good.
So then they go and they revire. They're not avodim.
Theoretically, one could have, but the Bezin kind of said, okay, fine. You have anything to say on your behalf? No? Okay, fine. We register that they are temporarily apostled because they're avodim. In another case, you know, if this becomes another situation, maybe you'll bring Edom that they're not avodim. But in this case, they said, fine, they're avodim. We don't need to worry about it. Let's not waste the time. The lawyers are charging $1,200 an hour. Let's move on to the second pair. The second pair afterwards comes out that they're psulim, they're kroivim. Should we go and re-examine that first edus that we had and talk about rehabilitating them? Over that history, and we move on.
Well, because you know these guys.
Because you're a person of truth and integrity and honesty.
We're just pushing them aside. We said we don't want to
Also, it's not consistent because we have a zomamim and zomamim zomamim and zomamim zomamim zomamim, mm-hmm. where Eidus constantly is resurrected back and forth because zomamim zomamim say, how can you say with you in Chicago, you were with us in Los Angeles that day, and the Eidus of the first pair that's material to the case either is resurrected or is voided. So we have an instance of that in Halacha, in the beginning of Makkos, right?
So I want you to know, Rabbi Isai, all of the people that are upset around the table, in fact, two pshatim in the Rashi. Rashi says, kvar idu eidim rishonim, it doesn't mean the party, one of the parties, together with that third disinterested individual, that we have already believed them when they criticized and challenged the first pair of eidim by saying they have to be avodim. But so until now we learned kvar idu eidim rishonim, meaning the party and that the third disinterested guy, that we believed them then, and we're not going to resurrect it, we're not going to challenge it now. But Rashi has a second pshat, where Edom Rishonim, that in fact, those that try to challenge, meaning that first party together with the other guy, we're going to reject them, and we're going to resurrect
the
original.
We're going to restore their original Edus, because now it's material.
Exactly.
So it's the challenge that's being rejected. The challenge of the Lola and his friend, not the Eidus of the first two.
So
let's look at the Rashi. Rashi brings both pshat. It's halfway down the wide lines, down below. Oh, at the end of the line. Oh, you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. No, forget about the parentheses. Kishenimtzis kashni psula. When we find out now that the second kata is taka psula mokroiden, kvar neskabula bekashrus eidusan shel elu. We had already accepted as kosher the Eidus of Elu. Who's the Elu? Hameidin. Al hapsul, on the psul of the first original Edom, v'adayim lo yhoyen negia be'edis. At that time, he was not negia be'edis, because at that time, the second party was still waiting in the wings. U'miyachshin iskabla behechsher, since we believed them initially, to go and say that those guys are avodim, ne'monim lifsalus rishoinim, and that Edis remains. We're not going to reopen that stage and that phase of the case, but we believe them, so the first guys were gepasled. The second are gepasled, and therefore they're going to win the case.
Lashanacher,
oh, kvar idu eidim harishoinim. We mean the kat rishoina of the two kitois, that kat rishoin sheidu beitus and shebalidinim. They are mehemni. Now we're going to resurrect and reinvigorate them, and we're going to say they are believed. The kivin shniya psula. Not that we've established that the second one is possible. So lemivslik amoy. How can you go and believe that first party against the first bear maiden is the chenegia be'edus? So you see, you have both ways. Whichever way you like it, Rashi brings both pshat. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, that's why we see why Rav Ami and Rav Asi ask the question: what happens if there's only one remaining cut? What happens? So Gemara says kvar idu, and now you can interpret it either way. Ikani Amri, not that Rav Yochanan or Rav Dimi answered, but Rav Ashi said kvar idu edem rishon. The Choyre says, Gemara, how did we finish Lamaisa? How do we get into all of this? We got all into this because the Mishnah says that a person can go and challenge the other guy's Eidov, and there's an Indian you have to be Mavarer according to Rameh. Rameh is Sovet Tzorach Mavarer. So Gemara, the Choyre, the same Machlev between Rameh and the Chum over here, that you have to bring the second pair of Eidov because you have to move. You said you have two. You better bring in both. Bring in both, according to Rameh. According to Rabbanu, you don't have to. The same machloek is the by Rabbi Reb Shimon Gamliel. The sign you will learn the Brisa, but lidoin bishtar ubechazoka. What happens if a person comes in? What are you doing on my property? What do you mean I'm doing? I have two reasons why I'm on your property. Number one, I have a shtar that I bought it from you 12 years ago. And number two, I have chazoka. I can bring you 100 Edom that I've been here for 3 years straight. So what do we do? Zok Rabbi, neither bishtar, neither Rabbi. You have to prove your case by bringing in the shtar that you bought in originally. You said you have a shtar, bring in the shtar. If Shem Gamliel, I'm a nidim mechazaka. No, you can be nidim mechazaka based on the 3 years that you have testimony that you were there. Vavinim, when we learned that brisa, we asked, what is Shem Gamliel? Mechazaka v'loy b'shtar? After all, isn't shtar much better than a chazaka? Shtar says, I bought it from you, and it has, you know, the imprimatur of the bezin, and the ahempik, and the whole geshef. Isn't that much better?
And not just a squatter.
Exactly. So, Shem Gamliel said mechazaka, does he reject shtar? And the aim of what Shem Gamliel is saying is af bishtar. I'm sorry. Af bechazaka. Thank you. Af bechazaka. What means af bechazaka? Shem Gamliel says you got a choice. You say that you have two arguments, two winning arguments. Shtar. You have either one. that the af means either one, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, either bringing your shtar or bringing your chazaka. And the kaimel and the b'tzarach levar peligi, the machlokes is now between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, is in this halacha. That what? That according to Rebbe, Rebbe says, no, you have to mavar, you have to bring in both the shtar and chazaka. And Rashi says, parenthetically, once you bring the shtar, really the chazaka is no longer necessary, because the chazaka is derivative of the shtar. Your right to be the legal squatter in this property is because you have the shtar. Once you have that shtar, the whole reason we said in the beginning of Masechta Bava Kama, that the when you have a chazaka, it works. Thank you. The reason why I begin Bava Basra. Yeah, thank you. The reason why we said in the beginning of Chazaka Batim that you have a 3-year chazaka is because after 3 years, most people
dispose of their shtaros.
They dispose their shtaros. They don't keep their shtaros forever and ever and ever. Otherwise, you know, have all those people, and they pass away, and then
hoarders.
You have the hoarders, and they've hoarded every single in the New York Times, and every single New York Post, and every single Algemeine Chanel from 50 years ago, and it takes months just to go and clear out all the litter. So people after 3 years, they're not so careful about the shtars. So that's why chazak is all so good. But if you have a shtar, that's the best. So therefore it says, Rabbi, you said you have two arguments. Bring the better one, bring the shtar. Tzorech levar. Don't bring me na chazak, guys. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, no, ain't tzorech levar. I told you that I have either chazak or shtar. Either one is good. Ampa chazak is good. Because ain't tzorech levar. So that's the same machloikis that we're saying over here too. So if you learn, no, like, nishkarai. Ali Rav Shimon Gamliel kuliyam alipli. Avadakot Rav Shimon Gamliel, he says, ain't tzorech levar. You can do chazak, you can do shtar, any, meaning, mighty, more, whatever you want. Keep legal, leave it to Rebbe. According to Rebbe. The mayor, Karebbe. The mayor says, tzorech levar. Just like Rebbe said tzorech levar, I also tzorech levar. The whole chazak is derivative of the shtar, because without the shtar, the chazak is worthless. And therefore, that's why Rebbe says, all you have to do is bring your shtar, and that is enough birur, because the chazak is a derivative, it's as if it's contained within the shtar. You have the shtar. It's not that one pair of Edom is derivative of the other. They are exactly parallel to separate kitos. You have one kat of Edom, and you have the other kat of Edom. So, Rabbi Moida, if you have two separate pair of Edom, it's Tzorech Levar. Either one is Kenuk. You don't have to have four Edom. As long as you have two, that's enough. And therefore, you have no raya that this is the same. No problem. But wonderful day.